Well, good Tuesday to you all, and welcome to this 166th day of our journey through the Bible. My name is Hunter. I am your brother, your Bible reading coach, someone who shows up with you each day to spend some time together in the pages of the Bible, to let the Bible direct our hearts, our attentions, our affections, our imaginations to the one who is life itself, to the living Word. And he is the one that it's all about, my friends. He is the one that we worship. We don't worship our Bibles. No, we do not. Jesus says, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them there is life, but the Scriptures speak of me. But you did not come to me. So we come to him, my friends. That's what this podcast is all about. And the Bible is an amazing book. It truly is. I've been coming to this Bible every day with people like you for almost 8 years now. And it is truly a delight. Today we're going to look into the book of 1 Kings chapter 16, 2 Chronicles 15 and 16. And then we finish our reading in the book of Colossians chapter 1. Father, thank you that we have this day to think, to reflect, to pray, to lament, to struggle, to discover, all with you. Help us to see it. 1 Kings 16. This message from the Lord was delivered to King Baasha by the prophet Jehu, son of Hanani. I lifted you out of the dust to make you ruler of my people Israel. But you have followed the evil example of Jeroboam. You have provoked my anger by causing my people Israel to sin. So now I will destroy you and your family, just as I destroyed the descendants of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. The members of Baasha's family who die in this city will be eaten by dogs, and those who die in the field will be eaten by vultures. The rest of the events in Baasha's reign and the extent of his power are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. When Baasha died, he was buried in Tirzah. Then his son Elah became the next king. The message from the Lord against Baasha and his family came through the prophet Jehu, son of Hanani. It was delivered because Baasha had done what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as the family of Jeroboam had done, and also because Baasha had destroyed the family of Jeroboam. The Lord's anger was provoked by Baasha's sins. Elah, son of Baasha, began to rule over Israel in the 26th year of King Asa's reign in Judah. He reigned in the city of Tirzah for 2 years. Then Zimri, who commanded half of the royal chariots, made plans to kill him. One day in Tirzah, Elah was getting drunk at the home of Arsa, the supervisor of the palace. Zimri walked in and struck him down and killed him. This happened in the 27th year of King Asa's reign in Judah. Then Zimri became the next king. Zimri immediately killed the entire royal family of Baasha, leaving not even a single male child. He even destroyed distant relatives and friends, so Zimri destroyed the dynasty of Baasha as the Lord had promised through the prophet Jehu. This happened because all the sins Baasha and his son Elah had committed, and because the sins they had led Israel to commit, they provoked the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, with their worthless idols. The rest of the events in Elah's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Zimri began to rule over Israel in the 27th year of King Asa's reign in Judah. But his reign in Tirzah lasted only 7 days. The army of Israel was then attacking the Philistine town of Gibbethon when they heard that Zimri had committed treason and had assassinated the king. That very day they chose Omri, commander of the army, as the new king of Israel. So Omri led the entire army of Israel up from Gibbethon to attack Tirzah, Israel's capital. When Zimri saw that the city had been taken, he went into the citadel of the palace and burned it down over himself and died in the flames. for he too had done what was evil in the Lord's sight. He followed the example of Jeroboam in all the sins he had committed and led Israel to commit. The rest of the events in Zimri's reign and his conspiracy are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. But now the people of Israel were split into two factions. Half the people tried to make Tibni, son of Ganath, their king, while the other half supported Omri. But Omri's supporters defeated the supporters of Tibni, so Tibni was killed and Omri became the next king. Omri began to rule over Israel in the 31st year of King Asa's reign in Judah. He reigned 12 years in all, 6 of them in Tirzah. Then Omri bought the hill known as Samaria from its owner, Shemer, for 150 pounds of silver. He built a city on it and called the city Samaria, in honor of Shemer. But Omri did what was evil in the Lord's sight, even more than any of the kings before him. He followed the example of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and all the sins he had committed and led Israel to commit. The people provoked the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, with their worthless idols. The rest of the events in Omri's reign, the extent of his power, and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. When Omri died, he was buried in Samaria. Then his son Ahab became the next king. Ahab, son of Omri, began to rule over Israel in the 38th year of King Asa's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 22 years. But Asa, son of Omri, did what was evil in the Lord's sight, even more than any of the kings before him. And as though it were not enough to follow the sinful example of Jeroboam, he married Jezebel, the daughter of King Ethbaal of the Sidonians, and he began to bow down and worship to Baal. First Ahab built a temple and an altar for Baal in Samaria, then he set up an Asherah pole. He did more to provoke the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than any of the other kings of Israel before him. It was during his reign that Hiel, a man from Bethel, rebuilt Jericho. When he laid its foundations, it cost him the life of his oldest son, Abiram. And when he completed it and set up its gates, it cost him the life of his youngest son, Segub. This all happened according to the message from the Lord concerning Jericho, spoken by Joshua, son of Nun. 2 Chronicles 15. Then the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Obed, and he went out to meet King Asa as he was returning from the battle.
"Listen to me, Asa," he shouted. "Listen, all you people of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God and without priests to teach them and without the law to instruct them. But whenever they were in trouble and turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him out, they found him. During those dark days, it was not safe to travel. Problems troubled the people of every land. Nation fought against nation, city against city, for God was troubling them with every kind of trouble. But as for you, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded."
When Asa heard this message from Azariah the prophet, he took courage and removed all the detestable idols from the land of Judah and Benjamin and in the towns he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. And he repaired the altar of the Lord which stood in front of the entry room of the Lord's temple. Then Asa called together all the people of Judah and Benjamin, along with all the people of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, who had settled among them. For many from Israel had moved to Judah during Asa's reign, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. The people gathered at Jerusalem in late spring during the 15th year of Asa's reign. On that day, they sacrificed to the Lord 700 cattle and 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder they had taken in the battle. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, with all their heart and soul. They agreed that anyone who refused to seek the Lord, the God of Israel, would be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. They shouted out their oath of loyalty to the Lord with trumpets blaring and ram's horn sounding. All in Judah were happy about this covenant, for they had entered into it with all their heart. They earnestly sought after God, and they found him, and the Lord gave them rest from their enemies on every side. King Asa even deposed his grandmother Maacah from her position as queen mother, because she had made an obscene Asherah pole. He cut down her obscene pole, broke it up, and burned it in the Kidron Valley. Although the pagan shrines were not removed from Israel, Asa's heart remained completely faithful throughout his life. He brought into the temple of God the silver and gold and the various items that he and his father had dedicated. So there was no more war until the 35th year of Asa's reign. 2 Chronicles 16. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, King Baasha of Israel invaded Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from entering or leaving King Asa's territory in Judah. Asa responded by removing the silver and gold from the treasuries of the temple of the Lord and the royal palace. He sent it to King Ben-Hadad of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus, along with this message. "Let there be a treaty between you and me like the one between your father and my father. See, I am sending you silver and gold. Break your treaty with King Baasha of Israel, so that he will leave me alone." Ben-Hadad agreed to King Asa's request and sent the commanders of his army to attack the towns of Israel. They conquered the towns of Ajon, Dan, Abel Beth-Makar, and all the store cities in Naphtali. As soon as Baasha of Israel heard what was happening, he abandoned his project of fortifying Ramah and stopped all the work on it. Then King Asa called out all the men of Judah to carry away the building stones and timbers that Baasha had been using to fortify Ramah. Asa used these materials to fortify the towns of Geba and Mizpah. At that time, Hanani the seer came to King Asa and told him, "Because you have put your trust in the king of Aram instead of in the Lord your God, you missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and Libyans and their vast army, with all of their chariots and charioteers? At that time you relied on the Lord, and he handed them over to you. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. What a fool you've been! From now on you will be at war." Asa became so angry with Hanani for saying this that he threw him into prison and put him in stocks. At that time, Asa also began to oppress some of his people. The rest of the events of Asa's reign, from beginning to end, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa developed a serious foot disease. Yet even with the severity of his disease, he did not seek the Lord's help, but turned only to his physicians. So he died in the 41st year of his reign. He was buried in the tomb he had carved out for himself in the city of David. He laid on a bed perfumed with sweet spices and fragrant ointments, and the people built a huge funeral fire in his honor. Colossians 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. We are writing to God's holy people in the city of Colossae, who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. May God our Father give you grace and peace. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people, which come from your confident hope in what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love of others that the Holy Spirit has given you. So we have not stopped praying for you ever since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people, who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him God created everything, in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He made the things we see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is the first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and for generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people, for God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing in his glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone. With all the wisdom God has given us, we want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. Amen. May Christ, who works within us, who is in us, may he now give his blessing to the reading of this word. Amen. Our reading in 2 Chronicles today had this verse: "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." God's eyes are looking for something, and Paul tells us what that something is in Colossians 1:22. "Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." God has found what he's looking for in you, because you now stand before him without fault, holy and blameless in his presence. Christ has reconciled you to himself by his death on the cross. In fact, Paul says that Christ has reconciled all things to himself. He has won for his Father many sons and daughters. And so now God has found what he's looking for, his Son. He's finding him in you. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, Paul says the same thing, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. Christ's victory on the cross accomplished far more than we have dared to imagine. But Paul is wanting to blow our imaginations out of the water. He says, in effect, "Do you know that you are blameless? Do you know that you are without fault and holy? Do you know that God has found what he's looking for in you? Because you are in Christ, and he is in you." And it's not because of anything you've done, but what Christ has done for you and for the world. Do you know that? Have you entered into the joy of that? Have you found what you are looking for? Do you realize that you, your true life, has been hidden with God in Christ? What Christ has done for you on the cross has brought you into his life. Now, you can live with strength, confidence, joy, hope, and peace. Those are ours now in him. Learning to participate in those things, well, that takes some work. It takes faith. Yet all these things are ours in him. Colossians 1:27 says, "For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too." It's for everyone. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Here's a simple exercise I encourage you to do today. Simply ask. Because this, what I'm saying here, is just so beyond us, right? I mean, Christ in me? How about you ask today if that is so? Don't ask me. Ask God. Is it true that Christ, that he is in me? And listen. And keep listening to what God will say. That's the prayer that I have for my own soul. That's the prayer that I have for my family, for my wife, my daughters, and my son. And that's the prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Well, dailyradiobible.com, that's our home base out here in these interwebs, and that's where you'll always find us. That's where we keep the lights on. That's where we're always glad to have you stop on by. We really are. In particular, now, I want you to go to the website and check it out now. I've tweaked around a little bit with the graphics on the site, and I'm constantly patting myself on the back in front of Heather over this thing. I think she's growing a little impatient with me, constantly saying, "Look at that. Look what I did." So I think I need to go do that with other people. So go check it out. See what I did. Check out the website. And only tell me what you think if you like it. If you don't like it, I don't want to know. So check out the website. We've made a couple of alterations and changes there, which are kind of fun. And while you're there, sign up for the newsletter, will you? That newsletter comes out about once a month, and we would love for you to get it. It's a good way to stay in the know, the happenings, the whatnots of the DRB. Other than the website, another new thing we've got going on here through the summer is our Friday family, or what do I call it? Family Friday shout-out, that's it. Family Friday shout-out, and that's where on Fridays I give a shout-out on your behalf to anyone that you would like me to give a shout-out to. If you've got a celebration that you want mention of, by all means, let me know, and I will join in the celebration with you by giving a shout-out to that particular person. Maybe it's an occasion, a celebration, you know, one of those things we ought to pay more attention to in life, and that's, you know, the good things, things we want to say yeah to. So, send me an email at hunter@dailyradiobible.com, and I'll be sure to join in on the party with you. Make sure it's at that email address, however. I've got a lot of different channels coming and going here, and sometimes it's easy to lose track of things. But if it comes to hunter@dailyradiobible.com by Wednesday, then I'll be able to have that on the Friday's podcast. So Family Friday shout out. Let me know. And I want to let you know that this podcast is made possible because of the generous hearts of people like you, listeners to this podcast, who partner with the work to make it happen. It doesn't happen without faithful people coming alongside and saying, hey, I want to be a part of this. And for that reason, I want to give a shout out to a number of those folks, to Carmen Rios Sanchez, to Eldridge Coburn, Lourdes Bohr, Craig the OG Hill Doll, Sandra Bush, and Becky Hutton. Thank you guys so much for being shoulder to shoulder with us in this important work. If you'd like to join that happy group of folks, you certainly can. Just head on over to the webpage, the new and improved webpage, and click on the donate link, and you will be on your way. Well, I'm going to be on my way now, but what do you say we show up again here tomorrow? We'll do the same thing, Lord willing. Lord willing and the creek don't rise will be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let his joy be our strength. And let us always remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care. Bye-bye.